You guys want to turn over to Song 445, Standing on the Promises. Feel free to have a time of fellowship.
Thank you.
All right, as we make our way back to our seats, if you guys want to open your hymn books to Song 99, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Right before the preaching, we have a special by Brother Duke.
Okay, this song is all about the blood of Jesus, and that's our only hope for eternal life, is to have our sins covered by that precious blood. You got it cued up?
Lovers of God.
What a beautiful song. What a beautiful testimony. The Lord loves us so much that he died on the cross for us, and I'm thankful for that. I do want to say appreciate you being here this morning. I hope and pray that something's already been said or done to draw you that much closer to the Lord in your walk with him. And I know that I've been encouraged already this morning just being in the Lord's house. Of course, today is one of those days that we're going to celebrate and recognize one of the most commercialized, I guess, or the most romantic days of the year. Women love this day, but anyways, we Sweethearts Day, and let me say this. Then we'll get into the message. Love is an action, and when Jesus loved us, and it was written in red. He died on the cross for our sins, and that was a demonstration of his love towards us. It's not just simply something that we say, but it's something that we do. So men, I'm going to encourage you, and I guess ladies too, but men, I encourage you to do something special for your wife and tomorrow, or I guess Tuesday's actually Valentine's Day or Sweethearts Day. But anyways, do something special for her. It doesn't have to cost anything. But you can do something special. Maybe do the dishes. Man, I didn't hear any amens at all. Yeah. Do something special for your wife this week. I know that they would appreciate it. And just that women desire to have that just that a little bit of extra attention. And I know that would go a long way. So with love being in the air, I guess what an appropriate time to talk about love. And I believe that the Bible commands us to love our spouses. Amen. The Bible teaches us that. It's a command that we're to love our spouses. His word also teaches us that we're to love our siblings and our sons and daughters. I mean, the Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches that we should love the saints and the sinners. And his word also teaches that we should love the scriptures. David said, "Oh, how I love thy laws and thy precepts." And but also we're to love the sanctuary. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But this morning I want to focus our attention to one fact, and that's our love for the Savior. Got to have a love for the Savior. And that's what we're going to talk about, loving the Savior today. I'm going to invite you to Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse 15. We're going to see through verse to the end of the chapter there, Deuteronomy 30, 15. The Bible says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to express our love to you. Lord, you demonstrated your love for us there on the cross when you died for our sins. And Lord, what greater love hath no man than this, than he lay his life down for his friends. Lord, we ask this morning that you would be with us this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, may we draw closer to you. And Lord, as we draw closer to you, we'll see our need to draw closer to each other. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one not saved, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice here in our verse here, I understand the direct application, the context of it is talking to Israel, but I believe it can be applied in our lives that we're to love the Lord our God. The Bible says here in that, "I command thee this day to love thy God, the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments." Then it goes on to say, "But if thine heart turn away and serve and worship other gods." You see, the Bible is very clear here that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength. The Bible says in 1 John 4:16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in the love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is made not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God love his brother also." There are numerous passages in the scriptures that gives us this command, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Many times it's throughout the scriptures you can see that. I find that this is not just a suggestion. It's not something that, you ought to love God, but it's a command that we are to love God. To love God.
And in the scriptures, I was just looking this up, and we see the capacity of our love for him. In Deuteronomy 6:5, it says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Everything that we have, we're to love God. But we also see the conditions of loving God. In verses 6 and 7, it says, "And these are the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Hey, when are we to love God? All the time. All the time. In Deuteronomy, we're told to teach our children to love God. To teach our children to love the Lord. We do this as it's seen in our lives. You know, I can tell my girls to do something, but if I'm not doing it myself, it's not going to hold any water. And we can command our kids to do something, but you know what? When they're out on their own, they're not going to do it. Why? Because it's not something that's ingrained in them. It's not something that they see and it's real in their lives. Because it's not real in your life. See, it's not just enough to say that we love him. Love is an action word, I said, and it should be seen in our lives. In the New Testament, one of the religious Pharisees, they came to Jesus and asked him a question. He said, "Master, which is the great commandment in thy law?" And Jesus said unto him, he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment with promise." He said, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." God says to love the Lord thy God, to love him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, everything that's within us. And then he says the second thing is to love thy neighbor as thyself. To love thy neighbor as thyself. There are many today that know how to answer the question religiously. Do you love the Lord? Well, yeah, we know how to say it. Even Peter, whenever he was confronted by the Lord, "Do you love me?" He said, "Oh yeah, I love you. Yeah, I love you." But it's not that agape love that he was asking for. They've been taught as a child what to say and how to say it and all these things. But I wonder, is it? It's more than just teaching your children things about God. It's a life. It's a life-changing thing. It's important to know. Let me say this. It's important to know the Word of God. I believe that. It's important that we know the Word of God. But it's more important that we know the author of the Word of God. That we know the author of the Word of God. I believe with all my heart that we need to read the Bible and learn the ways of God. But if we have no knowledge of the author, we die lost in our sins. Did you know Jeffrey Dahmer? I've read somewhere Jeffrey Dahmer knew memorized over half the New Testament. One of the most wicked men that's ever lived. You see, it's not just enough to know the Word of God, but it's to know the author of the Word of God. I believe we ought to know the Word of God, but I also believe that you ought to know the author. And we are commanded to love the Lord God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. I want to give you just a few things, three or four thoughts this morning about this loving God. Number one, I want you to notice the foundation of loving God. In 1 John 4:9, it says, "And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." You can never love God until you understand that he loved us first. The Bible says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Until someone is born again, until someone is saved, they know nothing about the love of God. They know nothing about true love, really. Until you understand the love of God, until you understand that he loved us, that it's unconditional. That love, "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for the ungodly. See, love is unconditional. It's all rooted in the fact that he loved us first. If he hadn't loved us first, then we would not love him. I want you to notice the foundation of our love. But no, secondly, I want you to notice the fundamentals of loving God. In our text there in chapter 30, verse 15, it says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, and that I command thee this day, love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments." We're to love God compassionately. I mean, compassionately. The Bible says in Luke 10:27, it says, "And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." With all thy heart, you're passionate about. That's used as a symbol, you know, I heart this. And the thing of it is that your heart is what you're passionate about. That thing that you love is the thing that you talk about. It's the thing that consumes you. It's that thing that, and it should be, number one, God. Should be Him. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What is it that we're spending our money on? What is it that we're spending our time in? What are we spending our talents on? Hey, that's where our heart is. That's where our heart is. You see, it's used to describe what you love. The Bible commands us to love Him unconditionally as He loved us. You know, when we're going through, when we get what we want, we're to love Him. That's easy to do, right? When everything's going well, when everything's hunky-dory, and hey, we love Him because He's so good to us. But it's not only just then, but when things are going bad, we're still to love Him. You know what? He knows what's best for us. We're to love God unconditionally. Our love for Him should take precedence in our lives. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What are you passionate about? Whatever you're passionate about will be seen in your life. Everybody, there's no doubt that anybody knows. I mean, I know this, that people know that I love my wife. Why? Because I talk about her. I'm passionate about her. I mean, she is, you don't have to be around me very long to know that I love my wife and my kids and my church and my, those things are I'm passionate about my Lord. You don't have to be around me very long. I'm going to be talking about the Lord, my family, my church, the Bible. Why? Because that's what I'm passionate about. See, what you're passionate about will be seen in your life. If you spend enough time with someone, can I say this? If you spend enough time with someone, you'll know what they love. You'll know what they love. That's what they're going to talk about. That's what's going to consume them. I believe our love for the Lord ought to take priority. We need to love Him first and foremost in our life. First, more than anything else in life. That means more than our cars, our boats, our fishing, our golf, our sports and hunting and our shopping and our purses and our, you know, our children, our spouses. You mean we're to love God more than our spouses? I don't believe that. Well, if we have anything set before God, it becomes a God. It takes His rightful position. And I can tell you this, and I can just give you my example in my life. The Lord is my number one love. And if God is my number one love, I say this in counseling many times, if God is the top of my love, and here's me and here's my wife, as we draw closer to God, what's that going to do? It's going to draw us closer to each other. As we draw closer to each other, we draw closer to God together, we're going to draw closer to each other, and we become one. Truly become one. I know how we, when we get married, we become one, but we truly become one. Once we come closer in our walk with God, it becomes sweeter with each other. Let me ask you, do you remember the time that the Lord saved you? I mean, you were so excited, ready and willing to do anything for Him. Let me tell you, don't leave that first love. Don't leave that first love. Listen, that's what's wrong with our marriages today. That's what's wrong with our churches today. We've left our first love. Everything has taken His rightful position in our lives. We're putting everything ahead of the Lord, and the Bible says that He is a jealous God. You see me? God's jealous? Yeah, the Bible says that He's a jealous God. He's not going to share that position with any man or any woman or anything. God wants that first position in our lives. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When we put things in the place of God, the Bible teaches that God can... You realize this, that God can take that away just like this? When we put things ahead of God, God can and will take those things away. Hey, you don't believe? You say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, Pastor. I don't believe God would do that. Read about the Israelites. Every time they got away from God, what did he do? He puts things into their lives. He took those things away. He put things in their lives. Why? To draw them closer to God. What he wants in your life is to be first place in your life. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. And that's what he deserves, to have first place in our lives. But I believe also our love for him needs to be personal. It needs to be personal. It's not enough that mom and dad loves God. It's not enough that your preacher loves God and your deacons and your Sunday school teachers, but it needs to be personal with you. You need to love God. You need to love him. He's a personal God, and he loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. You see, the thing of it is that he loves me that much, but he loves you that much. He's no respecter of persons. We are to love him with a sincere heart, not in tongue only, but inwardly. The Bible says this in Matthew 15:8. It says this: "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And what's the problem with so many today? Is their hearts are far from God. Talking about loving God compassionately. Secondly, I believe we need to love God continually. And there in Luke 10:27 it says, "And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Your soul's a part that never dies. It's a part of you that never dies. You know, your soul, when you die, your soul will either be spend eternity in heaven or spend eternity in hell. No matter what happens in life, we need to always love the Lord. There are too many people out of church and not giving the Lord honor because of things have happened to them in life. Can I tell you that people are going to hurt you? Let me just be really frank with you right now. Hey, people are going to hurt you. People are going to say things, but that's not God. You know what we want to do when people say things and hurt us in church? You know what we want to do? We want to get away from God. Well, I'll show them. I'll just get out of church. Gotcha. I'm going to say things that's going to hurt you. Not purposely, but I'm going to say things. I'm going to do things. Hey, your husband, your wife, your children, your family. Hey, your friends are going to do things to hurt you. They're going to do things to disappoint you. Not on purpose, some of them. Sometimes they do. But can I tell you that God, we're to love him no matter what happens in life. I see so many people out of church today because someone said something wrong in church. Anybody else know people like that? Sure we do. Because someone did something. Someone upset them so bad they're going to show the church. They're going to show God. Folks, we need to draw nigh to God. We need to love him no matter what. No matter what happens. You know what? Our love for him should be unconditional, just as his love for us is unconditional. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, he still loved us and died for us. Love God compassionately, continually, but also completely. Luke 10:27 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength." The word strength here means with all your power and your ability, everything that you can muster up. Now this is a command that God tells us that we're to love him that much. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, God says. There's just something that amazes me about brute strength. I love the story about Samson. I've said this many times. I think, when I was a kid, that he was my favorite Bible hero. I mean, because I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible then. But I just could imagine this massive, muscular man, Samson. I mean, just something about this brute strength, able to just to whip all them Philistines and to carry the gates of Gaza. Just all these things that he was able to accomplish. I just thought he was just a hawk of a man. As I've read and studied, I don't believe that he was that big. He had all that, and then muscles, just muscles upon muscles upon muscles. Why? Because then people would know where his strength lieth. I believe maybe he was just an average guy. But his strength came from the Lord. His strength came from the Lord. I tell my girls something. I don't know, something that's ingrained in us. I tell, especially Lizzie, she's bad about this. But I tell them, don't pick that up. It's too heavy for you. Next thing you know, what she's going to do, she's going to go over there and show me. Dad, look, I can pick it up. I can do this. That's every time. If I tell her, oh, that's too heavy, honey, don't do that. She's going to go over there and prove me wrong. So there's just something about brute strength. But here, we're to love him with all of our strength, with everything that we can muster up. We're to love him that much. Love God compassionately, continually, completely, but also coherently. The verse says, goes on to say, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. This word mind means our deep thought, things that we concentrate on, things that we think upon, what we meditate upon. You've heard the expression, garbage in, garbage out. The Bible says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The problem is our mind is so filled with garbage today. It's so filled with garbage from this world. No wonder the world is in such spiritual decay and apathy. Why? Because the average person, I looked this up, the average person wastes between 4 to 6 hours a day on social media. Considering the average person sleeps for about 6 to 8 hours, is what they say, it doesn't leave very much time to do anything else. You see, if we would only take time to meditate on the Lord, it would change our lives. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We need to give God our time, our praise, our service, our lives, our treasures, our talents. We need to give to the Lord. We need to show him. Remember I said that love is an action. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's something that we do. If we would love God with all that we are and with all that we do, how this world would be different. How this church would be different. The foundation of loving God, the fundamentals of loving God, the facts of loving God. 1 John 4:20 says this, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And the commandment, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Facts of loving God. There in Luke 10:27, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. If you love me, keep my commandments. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The fact is that we love him. If we love him, we will love and respect the saints. We'll love and respect the saints. You know, the Bible says this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto them, unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. You know what? I believe that we're to love one another. We're to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. God says, hey, you want to demonstrate, you want to show your love for me, you want to show it to the world that you love me, love one another. Love one another. You want to prove your love for God? We will love and respect other believers. The Bible teaches us that it's possible for God's people to have issues. Okay, you're not going to agree with everything that I say and everything. I'm not going to agree with everything you say and do. It's just not going to happen. But we can love one another. We can respect one another. The Bible certainly teaches that we're not to have hatred one for another. To love one another. But also I believe that if we want to show our love for God, we will love and rejoice in the Scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We should have a love. For David said this, I love thy laws and thy precepts. I meditate upon them. Folks, we need to, if we want to show our love for God, it'll be seen in our love for His Word. It'll be seen in our love for one another. But also, I believe it'll be seen in our love and return to the sanctuary. You know, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You say, well, I don't have to be at church. No, you don't have to be at church, but God tells us to be. It's not going to make you saved or not saved to be in the house of God, but you know what? It's where we fellowship with one another, and truly we worship the Lord here. I've had many people tell me, I can worship God at home. You can, but you won't. I'm just telling you. I mean, there's people that, yeah, they worship God at home, but they're worshiping God here at church too. It should be seen. Worshiping God shouldn't only be done at the church house, but it should be in our house. See, it's God's house, children, God's Christians. We're fed. If this is all you're getting is Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, you're going to starve to death. You need to be in God's Word daily, but I'm telling you, this is where the gospel's being preached here. Praise is given, the sinners are saved, and in the house we meet with His people, and we meet with the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But also, I believe it will be seen as we love and reverence His Son. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O God, to receive honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. To honor the Son of God is a great it's a great privilege that we have. We should honor Him by trusting Him. We should honor Him by testifying. We'd be honoring Him by thinking of Him, by triumphing with Him. But also, I believe another way we can show our love is by that we will love and reach the sinners. Love and reach the sinners. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We're doing a study or a session on Sunday nights right now on soul winning, or getting the Word of God out, evangelism, personal evangelism. I encourage you to be here tonight. We went over it last week. I encourage you to be here. It's going to help you sharpen your tools and to be able to go and witness to folks and to share God's Word with people. I believe with all my heart that if we love God, it will be evident in our lives. It'll be evident in our lives. You know what the Bible says? For every tree is known by his own fruit. Every tree is known by its own fruit. How are you known? Do you love God? Then prove it. Prove your love for him. Matthew 22:36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. We've seen the foundation, the fundamentals, the facts. But the last thing I have for you is the fruit of loving God. The fruit of loving God. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. You know what the fruit of loving God is? Being pleasing unto Him. Being pleasing to Him. You know, there's no greater thing that I want to hear when I die. There's nothing more that I want to hear than for the Lord to say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The fruit of loving God is that we're pleasing in His sight, and we'll hear those words, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're commanded to love the Lord. Can I tell you, that shouldn't be our motivation just because we're commanded to love our Lord. Our motivation should be because He loved us. We want to show our love for Him because He loved us. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't even know for sure if I was to die today. I don't even know for sure I'd go to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. I've got some questions. I've got some doubts. I just don't know for sure. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that? Would you raise your hand? Pray for me, Pastor. Anyone? Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I haven't been demonstrating that love for God like I should. I haven't been showing that love for God like I should. I understand He loves me and I love Him, but I haven't been showing my love for Him by keeping His commandments, by being faithful in His Word, by doing these things that we talked about this morning. Pastor, pray for me. I need to. Yes, I see that hand. Other hands, yes, all across the room. As we do our invitation, I'm going to encourage you to find your way out of your seat and come to the altar. Do business with God, however He spoke to you. Maybe you just want to come with your wife and say, thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for my husband. Thank you, Lord, for whatever the case may be. Thank you for the Word of God. Oh, how I love Thy precepts. Thank you for my church. I love my church. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you this morning, but just be obedient to Him as He speaks to your heart. Our Heavenly Father, again, thank you. Thank you for your love. That you willingly went to the cross to die for my sin. And Lord, help me to be a better servant. Lord, help me to show my love for you in more ways. My love for the scriptures and my love for the sinners and for the saints. Lord, for your sanctuary. Lord, for my spouse and for sons and daughters and for siblings. Lord, help us to show our love for one another. Lord, I pray that you would just have your way in this service. Lord, for those that raise their hand and realizing there are some areas in their life they haven't been demonstrated your love, their love for you. Lord, I pray that we, men and women, boys and girls, would find a place around the altar and, Lord, and get things right with you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Adam's going to begin playing. Would you stand to your feet? God spoke to your heart. Would you come? Don't wait. God spoke to you. Come on. Maybe you just want to find a place at the altar. I love you, Lord. And I lift up my voice. Sweetest thing that you can hear is for someone to say, I love you. You know what? God desires that from you. He wants to hear. Not because you have to, but because you want to, that you really mean it.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. As the men come forward, we'll take up this morning's tithes and offerings. I want to just give you a couple announcements. Tomorrow is our Sweethearts Banquet. That's tomorrow evening at 6:30. Dinner will be provided here. If you haven't signed up, that's okay. Won't you go ahead and sign up today? There's still room for you to come, and we want you to come to that. It's going to be a great time of fellowship and also some great food. I know I'm looking forward to that. And then Sunday, February the 19th, Brother Joe Ashbury will be with us in our Sunday school hour. Make sure you're here. He's going to help us to show us the importance of setting up estates and wills and things such as that. And then February the 24th, I had it on there, February 25th was a teen activity, but it's the 24th. It's Friday. And make sure the teens are here for that. I think they're going skating, going to have a good time with that. Then Sunday, February 26th, the teens will have a service. And then Saturday, March the 3rd, is our prayer breakfast. We'll be planning on going soul winning and on visitation that day. And so you come back tonight for our evening services, getting our tools sharpened for that. And then a happy anniversary to Robert and Jennifer Nash. Their anniversaries on Tuesday, I believe. And then also Brother Tony and Miss Lisa's anniversaries on Tuesday as well. I misprinted that. And then happy birthday to Brother Sean McGinnis is coming Saturday. And then Miss Kimberly. Her birthday is on Sunday, so happy birthday to them as well. Our missionary of the week is Joshua and Melissa Booth. Our deacon of the week, Brother Adam Amos. And our family of the week, Brother Sean, Miss Kimberly, Josh, and Eli McGinnis. And then our trustee of the week, Brother Tim Watson. Would ask that you remember these folks in your prayers this week. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Eli, sir, would you please ask the question?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us all here safely.
Excited. Oh, how I love Jesus. How many noticed the paint? Notice the paint. How many didn't? Let's be honest. How many did not notice? Okay, a couple. Thank you. Thank you. I knew there would be a couple out there. It looks so wonderful. I appreciate Brother Jack and Brother Phil and Brother Alan and Brother Nathan and all their work and those the others that have been in here just working away. I think the church looks very, very nice. I can actually wear this shirt again. Because it used to be, the walls used to be green, and I blended in. You couldn't see me up here. And so I made sure that I wore this just so you would notice that the walls were painted today. But it looks very nice. I appreciate those that have helped out with that. We'll be continue working. Got some more lights to put in and some more painting to be done. So if you'd like to help us out, just let us know. We want to make sure that we have things ready for you to help us with. All right, let's all stand and we'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you for being here today in the Lord's house. Looking forward to a wonderful evening tonight. I invite you to come back tonight for our evening service. And I'm going to ask Brother Sean, sir, would you please close us in a word of prayer?
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father.